The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Once upon a time in Radioland, a towering man strode to a silver microphone and announced to the world these words.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am that announcer, and my name is Todd Wilkerson. And this is the show I announce.
I'm announcing it right now, in fact.
And you have a front row seat to history.
Here's Eric.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it. Folks, you may have heard of him, Oz Guinness. He got his doctor of philosophy from Oxford. He was born in China and educated, as I've already told you, in England. He's the author of more than 30 books. I could go on and on, but why should I? Because he's right here. Oz Guinness, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Eric.
I'm so happy to have you. We are also friends. I've been privileged to know you for a long time. You write what I would call important books, and you, in your previous book titled A Free People's Suicide, helped me to see some things about my own country, which changed my life and led me to write my own book, If You Can Keep It. I know that in the new book, Carpe Diem, Redeemed, you do something like that. First of all, let's talk about this book. For someone who knows nothing about it, what is it about? It says Seizing the Day, Discerning the Times is the subtitle.
Well, you know, Carpe Diem has become a sort of catchword today. Dead Poets Society, many people having the tattoo on their body. But often in a secular world, Carpe Diem becomes sort of grab it while you can. Life is short, grab it. Whereas if you think a Jewish Christian, a biblical view of time, contrasted with the Eastern view of time and with the secularist view of time, the biblical view of time is so much richer and deeper. So I'm trying to put that biblical view back on the map.
Okay, so the Latin carpe diem means literally seize the day, and you're right, it's become a catchword, meaning in a sense seize the moment. It almost means like, you know, grab pleasure. You know, do what you can while you can because time is fleeting. And of course, there's some truth in that, but you're talking about something much deeper.
Absolutely. You know, the idea started to come to me some years ago. I was coming from Brussels to London on the Eurostar. And as you enter St. Pancras Station, there's graffiti of all sorts, but there was one that was legible. You only live once and you can't take it with you. So live it up, drink it down, laugh it off, burn it at both ends. You can't take it with you. You only live once. That's the so-called YOLO philosophy.
The YOLO philosophy.
Which is really incredibly stupid. It's a sort of bastard form of Epicurus. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Now, for all of us, life is short. And it's vulnerable. And so the question is, how do we make the most of it and live wisely and well? And once again, I think the biblical view helps us to do that in a way that no other faith and worldview does.
Well, then tell us about that. How does the biblical worldview help us seize the day, as it were, but in a true way. The title of the book, if I wasn't clear, is Carpe Diem Redeemed. So you're trying to give us the deeper idea. So then what is the biblical idea?
Well, think of the secularist view first. There is no meaning in time or history unless you give it meaning. So you've got to grab it by yourself. I used to have Bertrand Russell teaching, and he always had the picture of the Greek giant Atlas, who carried his own world on his own shoulders.
You had Bertrand Russell as a
taught
professor?
Taught a seminar, yeah.
You're
not
kidding.
Not fully for a term, but he'd give a seminar at London University.
I'm just amazed. I keep
Atlas
forgetting that
hero.
He was alive into the 1970s. I forgot
absolutely.
About that. Yeah,
I was a student in the 60s,
yeah.
And so I remember him well. But you can see that. It's often called the redemptive view of history. The secularists have to grab history by the scruff of the neck and make what they make of it. Now, you have optimists, much fewer left today, like, say, Steven Pinker at Harvard, and many pessimists, like Samuel Beckett. You know, what is time? Is history a tale told by an idiot, sound and fury signifying nothing? No, the Bible says. History has meaning. There's purpose in it. God's providence overlaps it, and he invites us to know him and to become partners with him into working into history. And that's the whole notion of calling.
It's interesting because most people who claim to live by them can't really. In other words, they can't really face the naked horror of a life that is genuinely meaningless, in which we have to create our own meaning. Most people don't live that way. They sort of borrow from the biblical view because it's too frightening. It's too horrifying to live a life in which there genuinely is no meaning.
No, absolutely. And you actually have leading atheists today, John Gray at the London School of Economics, who says that much optimistic humanism is actually a parasite on the Christian faith. It borrows hope. Because, as you said, you can't live with the bleakness that there's no meaning to it. Joseph Heller, you know, history is a trash bag of coincidences blown open by the wind. Well, who can live with a miserable view of life like that? In the biblical view, there are evils, there are shocks, there are disappointments, but God's providence is overall, and history has great meaning.
Well, so tell us then, what else do you say in the book? Because I certainly agree with your thesis, but what else do you say about it?
Well, there's a whole lot of the aspects of a biblical view of history. Just take one of them that applies today. The often quoted principle that the end is not the end. A lot of Christians are very discouraged and demoralized today. We may be seeing the end of the greatness of the American Republic. We may be seeing the end of the Western civilization. Just as St. Augustine lived to see the end after 800 years of Rome. But always in the world, there are ends of that first sense, endings, full stop, periods, conclusions. Always. Summer ends, you have autumn. Autumn ends and winter. They're ending. Our lives will end in that way. But then the other meaning of the word end is telos, your Greek word, which means end as climax, culmination, objective. And the Lord is always working out his purposes. So there may be endings of the first sort,
right.
But he always has endings of the second sort. And so we're people of hope, whatever.
We're people of hope, whatever happens. Right. Well, again, there are many people who they don't feel confident in believing that fully. In other words, there are many detractors who would say, look, I cannot see God's hand in history. It does seem like a grab bag blown open by the wind. It doesn't seem to make sense. How do you make sense of it? Why do you say that it does make sense?
Well, we always add in providence. In other words, it isn't all up to us. Getting to know God isn't up to us. He reveals himself and rescues us and so on. But history is not all up to us. And at the end of a great end, you have the Jewish and Christian notion of the Messiah. For us, the Messiah coming back again. But that providential ending and that, you know, the notion of apocalypse. Today, because of the films and so on, people think of apocalypse as catastrophe, disaster. But the biblical view is unveiling. And when the Messiah returns, there'll be a grand unveiling, and then we'll see the purposes of God. At the moment, we're looking at the bottom side of a carpet, all a mess of the knots and everything. You can't see the pattern. But when there's an unveiling of God's meaning at the end of time, then we'll see the real meaning of it all, because his providence has been working out right through the middle of it.
It's only because I've been studying Homer in these last few years that I know that the word calypso means hidden, and apocalypse is about what is hidden, so that the apocalypse is the revelation of those things which have been hidden. It's interesting to think that. In other words, that those who don't discern meaning in history, that we can say to them, well, in part, you're right. There's much that has been hidden from us. We have just enough to know that there's something, but we don't have the full picture. So that's true.
No, exactly. One of the great historians talks of history as terror, because we're disappointed and shocked and there's evil and all sorts of things go wrong. How can anyone see hope in this mess? You look at the 20th century, genocides, war, massacres, you name it. Things like 9/11, more locally, and so on. And yet, for the believer, history is a task, because there is meaning. We don't know the full meaning now, but trusting God, we work in, do our part with our individual callings, and history is no longer a terror, it's a task.
Great place to pause. Folks, I'm talking to Oz Guinness. You must not go away. Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. As you know, following Christ is a lifelong pursuit. It requires perseverance, and practice makes permanent. A new study Bible for today is the third edition of the Life Application Study Bible. Read by more than 20 million people, it's the best-selling study Bible in the world. The Life Application Study Bible is not a Bible for a season. It's not for a New Year's resolution. It's not just for hard times. It's a Bible for all times, with more than 10,000 newly updated and expanded notes, charts, maps, timelines, profiles, and more. The Life Application Study Bible is the most complete single-volume Bible ever compiled. It is just what you need to apply biblical teaching to your everyday life. As you train for the race God calls each of us to, the Life Application Study Bible is the companion and coach you need by your side every single step of the way. For who you were, who you are, and who God has called you to become for all times. Learn more at lifeapplication.com. That's lifeapplication.com.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
Email phishing attacks cost businesses billions annually in real cash, data loss, and brand damage. Phishing emails are hard to detect because the messages appear to be legitimate to unsuspecting employees. Introducing Barracuda Fish Line, a groundbreaking cloud-based solution designed to help employees recognize sophisticated email phishing attacks through interactive training reinforced by continuous simulation. Transform your employees from a liability into a line of defense. Go to barracuda.com/PL to learn more.
I needed new blinds. I knew I could save a ton of money if I put them in myself, but I was nervous about measuring right and then installing them. That's why I went to Blinds.com. I'd heard their ads on the radio, how they're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. But I still had to install them. So I called in my design consultant, Carla. She talked me through it all, from picking the right blinds to installing them. Plus, the online design consultation was free. Samples were free. Shipping was free. My home looks perfect.
With over 23 years online and 30,000 five-star customer reviews, Blinds.com is America's number one choice for custom blinds, shades, and plantation shutters. And their 100% satisfaction guarantee means if you accidentally mismeasure or pick the wrong color, they'll remake your window treatments for free. Go to Blinds.com now through October 7th and get up to 40% off. Plus, listeners get an extra $20 off with promo code PRAGER. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was between jobs, and we had over $64,000 in credit card debt.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
Working with Trinity was extremely easy. They really guided us into the program and gave us hope.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
My advice to people in a similar situation is to pick up the phone and call and get out of debt. The freedom from that is priceless. Let Trinity help make it better. Don't feel that you have to suffer alone or try to figure out the answer.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
If y'all feel that it's real, I'm on trial, and I'm here again, your prison. Like a coin in your mint, I am dented, and I'm spared with high treason. Through a glass eye, your throne is the one danger zone. Take me to the pilot for control.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. That's Elton John. I'm Eric Metaxas. And I'm sitting here with my friend, I'm happy to say, Oz Guinness. Oz, your new book is titled Carpe Diem, Redeemed, Seizing the Day, Discerning the Times. The second chapter of the book is titled Survival of the Fastest. What do you mean by survival of the fastest?
Well, obviously, a feature of our advanced modern world is what's called fast life. Instant, 24/7 pressure. And that is created by the clock. Now, the clock was invented around 1400 in Europe, and many historians say it's the most important invention Europe ever made. But it's the 19th century when the clock coordinated things through railways, railway timetables, and so on, and now, of course, with atomic-level timing. If you go back to your American explorers, Lewis and Clark, they agreed to meet at a certain place on a certain day, and they were 9 days apart, their plan, and they describe it in their journal as relatively punctual. 9 days apart. But can you imagine trying to dock a space station 9 days apart? They'd be dead. And we're living in this world of atomic timing, of instant pressure, and so on. And you can think of people looking at their phones 100 times a day. Marx called people wage slaves, but in many ways today we are time slaves.
That's a horrifying thought. So what should we do about it?
Well, we've got to re-explore notions, again, biblical notions, yeah. Like the Sabbath.
Yeah. Well, what about the Sabbath? I mean, the Sabbath seems to have fallen on hard times in our culture. I know when you think of, for example, as recently as Eric Little in the 1924 Olympics, his idea of the Sabbath was so serious. He took it so seriously, and the people, the Christians around him, took it so seriously that he was willing to give up a gold medal in the Olympics, willing to be hated by many people who thought that he ought to have put his country before this silly notion of the Sabbath. But he took it so seriously that he was willing to refuse to run on that day. And of course, God redeemed it dramatically and beautifully. But most Christians today, serious Christians, don't have anything approaching that kind of a view of the Sabbath. What do you think about it?
Well, the trouble was it became sort of legalistic, and then people wanted to get away from all forms of legalism, so they threw it out. Yeah. But actually, you see more and more people taking to it again, take cell phones. It's actually a wonderful thing to be free from emails or cell phones on the Sabbath, on a Sunday, and have one day when you're clear of it.
Yeah.
And actually, more and more people are doing that. But, of course, that in the Bible is only one part of that rhythm and renewal, rest and renewal. And you see, for example, the nation needed to have the Torah read to it every 7 years. What if America had its Constitution or the Declaration read every 7 years? And you have these moments of rededication and renewal and rest, and we need to see those are incredibly important.
It's interesting because I've never thought of it that way, that the Sabbath is a time, it's not just to rest, but in a way to recalibrate our position, so to speak, to say, have I drifted? To read the Torah, obviously, is to bring you back to the Word of God and to what He says. To read the Constitution would be pretty spectacular because it would first of all, teach those of us who don't know the Constitution what the Constitution says. But I'm not sure what it is that God calls us to do today on the Sabbath. There are different views of it, but it seems to me that most Christians have really thrown out the idea of Sabbath. It just seems not to apply any more than laws against eating shellfish apply.
Mm-hmm. But put another way, Eric, where we are with the crisis of the West and in America, we need to live an alternative way, a counterculture. And so we need to build back in the foundations that are biblical. And so my little attempt here is to restore a biblical Christian view of time and history. But there are many other things, of human dignity, of freedom, of justice, and things like that. Because we have the deepest answers to the deepest challenges that our modern world is raising. And yet Christians are often on their back foot, as if they have to be defensive.
Yeah.
Whereas truly, the good news of Jesus is the best news ever. And as we put forward its positive aspects, it's incredible. And time is just one more of them.
Well, I want to ask you, when we talk about biblical worldview, I immediately think today of China. The way they treat prisoners, the way they treat people who dare to dissent against the state, the way they've treated the Uyghur, the Muslims, the Falun Gong people, the Tibetan Buddhists, and of course Christians. They have a different worldview. You grew up in China. You suffered. Your family suffered. I don't know if you're willing to talk about that.
Well, take my grandfather, who was one of the first Western doctors in China. He died before I was born. But my grandmother would tell us the story. He'd go and say the Imperial Palace. A serving girl might spill the tea and immediately be taken outside, thrust headfirst down a well, left to die. Life was cheap. And you can see that they don't have a view. And you remember that our biblical view, Rabbi Sacks calls Genesis 1, the Magna Carta of humanity. Every single human being, badly educated, desperately crippled, impoverished financially, they're still precious and unique. That is increasingly important. So we often talked before of a post-truth world. We're now moving into a post-rights world because people can't give a basis for why there's a precious uniqueness to the individual. And once again, Jews and Christians, biblical people, we have that foundation and we've got to stand for it. And that was the problem in China then, and it's certainly the problem now. In Mao Zedong, to make an omelet, you have to break eggs. Well, he may have killed 60 to 75 million of his fellow Chinese. But make no mistake, there are things in the West where we now have a rather cheap view of human nature.
Well, there's no question about it, and I don't want to divert you from those things. I just think that since you grew up in China and suffered as a young kid there, your parents suffered it, I just want to highlight that because so many people are ignorant of when you take a biblical worldview thoroughly out of a culture, and you begin to say that, listen, every human being is not made in the image of God. We don't believe in the idea of God, and therefore every human being is really just what we say it is, and so we can take prisoners and we can say you forfeited your life and we'll use your organs. Horrific things, but they are consonant with that worldview.
Absolutely.
And we have to understand that every worldview, I learned this from you, ideas have consequences, and every worldview has to be taken seriously because it leads to those kinds of things.
Well, the one that's absolutely relevant right now is the notion of revolutions. Because if you look at the big five, you've got the English, 1642, the American, 1776, the French, 1789, the Russian and the Chinese. And as a boy, I remember 70 years ago this year, my dad saying to me, son, we're in trouble. Chiang Kai-shek has just flown to Taiwan. In other words, we were left at the mercy of the incoming Red Army, and the Reign of Terror began. But the first two revolutions were biblical. Through the invention of printing, and more importantly, the Reformation, the English Revolution, although it failed, and the American one, which succeeded gloriously, were biblical revolutions. Whereas the French, the Russian, and the Chinese were not. And among many differences, you have that espousal of violence. And you can see the danger of that today in America. America's in danger of shifting from understanding the Republic and freedom from the perspective of 1776 and the American Revolution to understanding it from the perspective of the French Revolution. So things like the sexual revolution, political correctness, identity politics, they have nothing to do with the American Revolution and everything to do with ideas that have come from the French Revolution. You know, take, say, the letter of Paul to the Galatians. He says, "Who's bewitched you? You're following another gospel." And, you know, as a European, I come to different parts of this country, and I'd almost like to say, "Who's bewitched you? Don't you realize you're following another revolution? This is not the American Revolution." The trouble is there's no one speaking at the highest levels for the American Revolution and its distinctives today.
Well, I know that you and I do what we can, but we are not at the highest level, and we need louder voices, more prominent voices. What I say in my book, If You Can Keep It, and in other places, I get mostly from you, and I say that to underscore the horror of being able to avoid these ideas as a student in America, how easy it is to miss these things and how we all need to wake up. We'll be right back. We're talking to Oz Guinness. The book is Carpe Diem Redeemed. We'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is aggressively criticizing the intelligence whistleblower over his phone call with Ukraine's president. The president questioned the legitimacy of the whistleblower's complaint, which has sparked the impeachment inquiry. Meanwhile, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says the president's tweets about the whistleblower amount to a, quote, blatant effort to intimidate witnesses. A World War II-era B-17 bomber carrying 13 people has crashed and burned at the Hartford Airport in an aborted takeoff attempt. This late word, at least five people have been killed. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders leaving the campaign trail until further notice. Sanders has had a heart procedure for a blocked artery. On Wall Street, stocks remain lower. The Dow is off 487 points. This is SRN News.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-600-3010. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-600-3010 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-600-3010 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-600-3010.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager, and we just launched a new Pragertopia membership called Pragertopia Unlimited. Members can listen to any and all audio programs that are in the Dennis Prager store. That's over 400 programs to choose from. Show segments, talks, lectures, courses, even full access to all 5 books of my Torah teaching. For a limited time, an annual Pragertopia Unlimited membership is only $119. Join Pragertopia Unlimited today. Go to Pragertopia.com.
Folks, this is Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Oz Guinness. The book is Carpe Diem Redeemed, Seizing the Day, Discerning the Times. Oz, you came of age in the 60s, and you saw how for the first time Eastern ideas came into the West, bringing with them all kinds of things, transcendental meditation, yoga. It's a completely different worldview that was really foreign to the West, which had mainly a biblical worldview, until about 50 years ago. It's amazing to realize that we're living in a time when that it has had a huge effect on how we think. So talk a little bit about the Eastern view of things versus the Western view.
Well, the Eastern view of time is quite different. It's based on the notion of a wheel. So history and time are a wheel going round and round. So desire leads to craving, leads to attachment, which binds us to the wheel. And the goal is to escape the wheel. You might go around 18,000 times, Hindus say. So the goal is to escape from that. But here's the problem. In the East, freedom is not freedom to be an individual. It's freedom from being an individual, because being an individual is being caught in that world of illusion on the wheel.
That seems like a very subjective idea. In other words, where do they get the idea? I mean, it just seems to me, maybe because I've been propagandized by living in the West, that to be an individual is the greatest thing. The God that I worship is an individual, is a person. And to disappear into the cosmos, to become one with everything, as they sometimes say, to me seems like genuine death. But
they don't see it that way. I obviously agree with you. I went out to study under a guru in the late 60s, to find why so many Westerners went to the East. And one of my conclusions was that many of them go to the East by force of reaction. The West is driven, noisy, activist, anxious. So you go to the East for meditation and rest. So the people I met were all aware of what they were against, but not all that aware of what they were into. And that's the problem. You can see people today taking to mindfulness or getting to yoga and so on, not realizing where the philosophy actually leads to. And that's the dilemma. It's very, very different. So the Bible's view of history, moving with purpose, each of us have a calling to make a point in our lives in history. That's unique. You go back to the Egyptians and the Babylonians and various others, the notion of a cycle was very common.
But it's very fatalistic, isn't it?
Oh, terribly.
I mean, in other words, it really seems to suggest that nothing matters, let go, stop fighting. It is fatalist. In other words, if I were, you know, you brought me one of the greatest gifts of my life is knowledge and understanding of the life of William Wilberforce. And I think to myself, what if he hadn't felt God calling him to eradicate this horrible evil of the slave trade? Imagine if he had been a Buddhist or had an Eastern view of things and said, everything's just working itself out. This will take care of itself. The slaves, the African slaves are suffering because they're on this karmic wheel. They sort of deserve to suffer. They do deserve to suffer, and I don't want to mess with it.
But widen it from what you're saying, Eric, and that is, the fatalism, the determinism, is much wider than just the East. So the Babylonians, everything's in the stars. Even in your ancestors in Greek, take, say, Oedipus, fate, Moira, destiny. You know, Even our modern atheists, you think as modern people, we all believe in freedom. Not at all. You look at the new atheists like Sam Harris, the front cover of this book is a puppet dangling on strings. Freedom, he says, is an illusion. You will not find a grounding for freedom except in the Bible. And that's a stunning thing to say, but it's true. And Westerners just take freedom for granted. But where did it come from? We are increasingly a cut flower civilization.
Well, talk more about that, because I've also borrowed that from you many times. It's a great image of a cut flower, meaning it looks beautiful. It is a flower. It's full of life. But the life is limited. It's already dying because it's been cut from its roots. That to me, it, when you say that we have this idea of freedom, we say we love freedom, but we have no idea where it comes from. We just grab it without realizing that it's vanishing unless we reconnect to the roots that gave us freedom.
Yeah. I mean, the essence, say, the story of Exodus, which is the master story of Western freedom. The story is of a free God rescuing his people to freely worship and live before him freely. It's all about freedom. You know, some Christians say to me, well, God isn't that concerned with freedom. And I say, well, all right, you use the word sovereignty. That's another word for freedom. God can express and exert his will despite all resistance and interference. He is free. You know, the Jews translate Exodus 3:14, not just, I am who I am, but I will be who I will be. I am free, the Lord is saying. And we're made in his image.
That I have never seen that before. And again, leave it to you to give me something precious and new. The idea that freedom and sovereignty are effectively the same thing. In other words, sovereignty isn't fatalistic. God has freedom, and he has the sovereignty to impose his wonderful freedom on us, but he's not stuck doing that. It's a big idea. We'll be right back, folks, talking to Oz Guinness. The book is Carpe Diem, Redeemed. Stick around. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. There's something you all need to know about Relief Factor and about Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son owners. As you know, they're on a real mission to help as many people as possible get out of pain, and they've been a consistent sponsor of the show for several years. In radio, sponsors come and go. They may even stay for a year or so. It sounds like they're doing super, and then they're gone. Well, not so with Relief Factor. Pete and Seth are consistent year after year, and that's because tens of thousands of people are now taking Relief Factor every day for their back and neck pain. I'm one of them. Shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain. And they are now in less or no pain at all. All these people, it's as simple as that. It works. That's why I've joined Pete and Seth on their mission to help you get out of pain today. And the first step is to order the 3-week quick start pack for $19.95. If you're still skeptical, remember, it's not just me. There are tens of thousands of other nice people who would happily tell you to give it a try. It can be done. It can be at your door in just 2 to 3 days. Go to relieffactor.com. Remember, relieffactor.com. It works. It works.
How was the doctor?
Not what I expected. I have arthritis.
What? How can I help?
Well, the doctor gave me a rundown on what to know and what to do, and also mentioned a symptom tracking app called Arthritis Power. It can help me and the doc manage my arthritis better.
Well, great. Let's download it from the App Store. Arthritis Power?
Yep, it sounds easy. I just have to answer questions about my pain and other symptoms once a week. It only takes a few minutes. The doctor says that seeing my symptoms over time in this app can help us understand how my arthritis is responding to treatment.
That's cool. Now don't forget to use it, old man. You'll be helping yourself and your doctor.
Old man? And what does that make you then?
If you have arthritis, download Arthritis Power. Arthritis Power is from the nonprofit Global Healthy Living Foundation and its patient community, Creaky Joints. Your information is protected, and there's never a cost. In fact, you could even be paid for participating in research surveys about arthritis. For more information, go to arthritispower.org or search for Arthritis Power in your app store.
Guys, waking up over and over to urinate is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to urinate at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling.
No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-424-8908. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-424-8908. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. 1-800-424-8908. 1-800-424-8908.
Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. You have all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today. Now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. You know I use it. I rave about it. You can get deep discounts on MyPillow's mattress toppers. I love that. Bed sheets, so much more. For example, they're bringing back the buy one, get one free offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Now, remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free offer for the MyPillows. You've got to enter the promo code ERIC or Metaxas. That's the key. Eric or Metaxas, 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057. That's Glenn Campbell, Eric Metaxas, and I'm sitting here with Oz Guinness. Oz, the book is Carpe Diem, Redeemed. You just were talking about generationalism, progressivism. Take us in that direction.
Well, part of the impact of clock time is that it puts its stamp on everything. So the latest must be greatest. The newer must be truer. And so you have both, say, in religion, in the church, but also in politics, a progressivism. So any change must be changed for the better. But that's nonsense. You know, you've got to say, are we progressing or are we regressing? You've got to have a standard by which to judge if you're going forwards or backwards.
Right.
And yet people say, well, you're on the wrong side of history, and that's the end of the argument.
Well, they have an idea that wherever we're going is better than where we are or where we've come from, which is absolute nonsense. Where do they get that idea from?
From the Enlightenment.
Yeah.
The Enlightenment idea of progress is exactly what you've described. In other words, the Enlightenment tried to replace God with reason and providence with progress and things like this. And this idea that we're moving, you know, Martin Luther King, he pointed out that those who talk about the arc of history bending towards justice and so on, many of them use that phrase like President Obama often did, but they don't have a basis philosophically for knowing that history is going towards justice. Now, we do as biblical people because God is over history, and one day there will be justice and tears wiped away. But for an atheist, they can't say that, and yet they do say it.
Well, there's an irony, too, because when we talk about things getting better, part of the reason we think that, because sometimes it's true, of course, things do get better, is because of the free market. In other words, in the free market, if I can create something that's better than what already exists, I will make money. And so there's a huge incentive to create something that's better. If I have a product on my own, I've created a product, I want to make an improved product so that next year people will buy my product. And so we have observed in the West things getting better because of the free market to some extent. And so there are reasons people think that way, but they're not really looking at why they think that way. They're just making a broader assumption mm-hmm. based on those observations.
Yeah, there's no question that technology does go like that.
Yeah.
But you don't have moral progress to keep up with the technological progress, and that's increasingly the challenge of where we're going.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that, you know, things – let's put it this way. The free market – and again, I learned this really from you – is that when you take morality and virtue out of the free market, when you take morality and virtue out of self-government and democracy, those things quickly devolve and things get worse. There's a great irony, right? Mm-hmm. So the free market, left to its own devices, will eventually create a worse world, not a better world, unless we're grounded in virtue. But those are ideas that, you know, I talk about this all the time. They have been forgotten by the ruling classes. I mean, most of the people on the GOP side don't seem to get this. I mean, they seem to think that democracy would erupt if we just took out this dictator or that dictator. They don't really seem to understand that virtue is at the heart of those things.
Well, that's incredibly naive. Look at what we did in Iraq. People were so excited when they saw the Iraqis voting, the same way that William Wordsworth was ecstatic when he looked at the French Revolution, and Edmund Burke said, wait a minute, what you're seeing is the wild gas of liberty, but without the right assumptions, foundations, it'll lead, as it did, to the Reign of Terror. Look what's happening in much of the color revolutions and so on. Eric, the way I put this, you might be intrigued, is, you know, someone has said we are now post-Auschwitz, post-Hiroshima, and pre-singularity. And you sort of summarize the challenges of humanity in that. Post-Auschwitz, what does it say of us as humans that the people who did that, they're the same species we are? Post-Hiroshima, what does it mean that with our defenses now, we obliterate not just the enemy, but much of the earth if we want to defend ourselves? And pre-singularity, you know, C.S. Lewis talked about when the conquest of nature becomes the conquest of human nature, and you have what Lewis called a master generation that can change all future generations without their consent, and with transhumanism tying ourselves into the machine. In other words, profound questions, and I would argue humanism, secularism, has no answer to some of these things. And you've only got an answer in the depth of the truth of the Bible.
Well, it's funny because, as I was saying to you earlier, my daughter is in college now. She's taking a course where she's forced to read all of this horrific, these horrific writings on futurism. So it's 1911, I think, that a guy named, is it Farinetti? I can't remember the name. But this Italian futurist, and it's the same thing that we're talking about here, except with the wild eyes of 1911, where you're living before you've seen the fruits of these horrible ideas. And so this utopianist idea that technology is going to conquer everything and it's wonderful and we've got this brave new future to look forward to, and to read it 100 years later is to cringe, because you see these ideas over and over. They have not been self-critical. They haven't said, well, where will this lead? Where will technology lead, for example? They're not really willing to do that, and they seem simply to be reacting to what they didn't like.
And then you think of how the 20th century showed up many of these ideas for their bankruptcy.
Precisely.
World War I was shattering. You know, and you had the distancing of humanity. And Einstein saying, I wish we could look at humanity from Mars so that we didn't have to be quite so identified. Then the 30s and 40s, the rise of totalitarianism and books like Brave New World and so on and so on. And then the 60s with the nuclear disaster and now transhumanism. These are titanic questions, and most worldviews are left in the dust. They can't answer these questions. I think only the biblical view has the strength to look them in the white of the eye and give answers.
I certainly agree. We'll be right back for a final segment. The new book just out this week, folks. It is Carpe Diem, Redeemed, Seizing the Day, Discerning the Times by Oz Guinness. Before we come back, let me remind you, we're doing a fundraiser with ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. You talk about folks who are at the front lines fighting for genuine liberty in America. It's a fight where they need help. They need your help. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com and give as generously as you can. We'll be right back.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask Home Advisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. How much does it cost?
Oh, Home Advisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free Home Advisor app. Home Advisor.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump is railing against impeachment proceedings against him as Democrats seek documents and depositions. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
With the use of profanity and name-calling, the president is going after Democrats, especially House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff.
He should be forced to resign from Congress. Adam Schiff, he's a lowlife. He should be forced to resign.
He calls the impeachment effort nonsense and says this has been the Democrats' goal for the past 3 years.
They've been trying to impeach me from the day I got elected.
The president claims it's not impeachment, it's a coup. Greg Clugston, The White House.
A World War II-era B-17 bomber carrying 13 people has crashed and burned at a Hartford, Connecticut airport. At least five people have reportedly died in that crash. Stocks remain sharply lower. The Dow is down 458 points. This is SRN News.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Oz Guinness's new book, Carpe Diem Redeemed, Seizing the Day, Discerning the Times. Oz, discerning the times. It seems to me that these Enlightenment ideas, these bad ideas, this French Revolution model of revolution has gained the upper hand in American life today. What do you say about that?
Well, sadly, I have to agree with you. And what makes me really sad is that America is as deeply divided as at any time since just before the Civil War, different reasons. But there's a huge difference, and that is no Lincoln. Because what Lincoln did, he addressed the evils, say, of slavery then in the light of the Declaration, but in the light of what he called the better angels of the American experiment. No one's doing that now. So even, say, take Make America Great Again, the gentleman doesn't ask what made America great in the first place. That's what needs to be renewed and restored. And I challenge leaders in Washington, which of you will play the Lincoln and address these real issues?
Well, it's interesting. I think that President Trump assumes a lot. In other words, he's not the sort to explicate these things, but he assumes certain things. And then there are people on the other side who assume the opposite, right? They say, make America great again. What do you mean? Taking us back to Jim Crow, taking us back to slavery. What do you mean? When were we great? He doesn't really defend himself ideologically. But I do think that there are people out there doing that, just not on the level
not
of a Lincoln.
Level.
No, not on the highest level. Is there anybody that you know in Washington who might?
There are a few who are capable of it. You know, people who know history, like, say, Senator Ben Sasse and others. But we need much, much more of that.
But his criticisms of the president strike me as crude and unnecessary. In other words, I don't think that the people who might have something to say, I don't think that they do themselves or their ideas a favor
by the way they've been expressing them. So I've been I think I've been disappointed.
Well, he
in
hasn't
him and
addressed
others.
The better angels.
Right.
In other words, rather than the Never Trumpers make a huge mistake. They're so obsessed with him they don't see the real problem. In other words, the ideas from the French Revolution are winning almost every day, and people are so obsessed with the president that they're ignoring the real cancer that's going on underneath. That's the trouble with the Never Trumpers.
What are some of the examples of this cancer? What do you mean?
Well, take some of the features of what's come down from the French ideas. It's a different source, the Enlightenment, not the Bible. You have a different view of humanity, separation of powers in the Constitution, utopianism in the other one. But take some of the specifics today. Power at the expense of truth. There is no truth. Everything's a matter of power. Or another one. In the biblical views, you work for reconciliation. You address evils. You hope for repentance and forgiveness and reconciliation, restoration. And you can see Martin Luther King, Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass. They all talk like that. Today, reparation, retaliation. They're making the problem worse, not better. Or another key feature of what's coming from the left, violence as opposed to civility. When words break down, we're never far from violence. And you can see that it comes in first. You make excuses for the excesses. They've been suffering terribly, so who can blame them for this, whatever. And then you get the sort of what's said, the sacralizing of violence. You know, those who die are martyrs, and those who are killed are scapegoats. And my fear is that there's going to be another assassination in this country.
I want to
growing out of the implacable hatred.
We're out of time in this hour. I want to hold you for another few minutes. So, folks, if you're listening, keep listening. We have a second hour. And Oz, thank you. Folks, I want to encourage you once again and beg you, if necessary, the Alliance Defending Freedom. These folks are heroes. They do what they do, but they cannot do it without your help. They need you to step up. Go to our website, MetaxasTalk.com. Give generously. It's very important. Our website is MetaxasTalk.com. MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner. Please give generously. This is an important thing that they're doing. They need your help.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.